with your main Chip Washington. When it comes to information, the main got an arsenal. Bring you up to speed with what you need. He's the local and nationwide news feed. Let's talk about it. Dialect to do something about it. Chip got the flow wide open and you got questions about it. Main, it's the show that brings you to your raw. To solve all problems, it starts with real talk. It's real talk.
And here we go. Here we go. On this Monday evening in the city, it is the 18th day of March 2024, 6 o'clock straight up, which means it is time for Real Talk Memphis. We are here. All of us are here back in the house this evening on this Monday evening. We were off last week. We hope you didn't miss us too much, but we hope you join us tonight. We're going to have a good show for you. As always, you know, it's a pleasure to be back here in the air chair to be with you. You just heard Level Lola, her show. She did 2 hours last week when we were out, and she was in here jamming, the night away. So I'm sure she did a wonderful job. Did a wonderful job this afternoon, too. If you've not found the experience, you need to catch it. Level Lola each and every Monday evening from 5 to 6 p.m. And you also need to check out Planet Chrome. That is hosted by our other girl, Nicole Covington. And Nicole is here with us this evening. We don't see her often, but she was standing outside when I got here. I almost fell over. I was a little in shock. But she's actually here in studio back with us this evening, as well as Brent. So the gang is all here. We are hoping that you're going to be there as well. Now, how do you get this fine piece of radio broadcasting? I am so glad you asked. 91.7 on your FM dial, live right now, WYXR on your radio dial. You can also catch us on the WYXR app. We are on the TuneIn app. You can also find us this evening. We are live streaming on Facebook Live. And when the show is posted in the next day or so, you can find us a little bit later on this week on YouTube. And as we are a podcast, you can catch us wherever it is you get your podcast. So, got all that straight. Everybody good. Everybody in line. Everybody straightened up. Y'all fired up, ready to go? I think you are. So, in terms of our guest this evening, I think we have a pretty good show for you tonight. This is Women's History Month, National Women's History Month. And, of course, you know, we cherish our women. We celebrate the accomplishments of so many women. And we will continue that tradition tonight. Our first guest is Bakara Maldon. Bakara is the newly named interim CEO of MATA, our transportation hub here in the city. So she'll be joining us in just a few minutes to talk about her plans and how she plans on moving that agency forward in the future. A little bit later on, we're going to be speaking with Mac Weaver. Now, who is Mac Weaver, you say? Well, he is the newly named president and CEO of the Memphis in May organization. And, of course, they had some challenging times last year, but Mac is at the helm now, and he's looking forward to this year, what this year brings, and we'll talk to him about how he plans on leading that organization in the future. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking to Kadisha Gordon, and Kadisha is the principal at Immaculate Conception Cathedral School here in the city. She is the first black female to helm that school in its over 100-year history. That is a Catholic school. She is a lifelong Catholic, and she was named to that position about a year or so ago, but doing some big things over at that school. And she's also going to introduce later on this year, and I guess for the new semester, she's going to introduce something else, another program that they are going to try to include in terms of the academic side of things. So we're looking forward to talking with all of our guests tonight and all of our folks tonight as we continue to celebrate Women's History Month, and telling her story is always what is important for all of us. So we're going to get things started with what we do each and every week on this show. We always celebrate the birthdays. Celebrate the birthdays, and if you're lucky enough to still be here to celebrate yours, this is why we do this segment. But we can't do it until I say, hit it, Bryn. It's Lola. Eases up to the mic. Happy birthday going out to the following individuals today. Timothy Guyton celebrating his birthday today. Mandy Marie, who is a reporter at Fox 13. She's celebrating her birthday today. Reverend Pastor Gina Sweat celebrating her birthday today. As is Ashley Harrelson. Happy birthday to you, Cheryl, Shell Cherie, and Lizzie Taylor, celebrating their birthdays. But we're not done yet, Lola.
Happy heavenly birthday this Saturday to my dad.
Oh.
And also this Saturday, happy birthday to my niece, Atoya Robinson.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday to your dad. There's a picture of you and your father on your Facebook page. I just love that. You're a daddy's girl, weren't you? Absolutely that daddy's girl. Listen, for all of you out there celebrating a birthday, if you, whether it was this weekend, today, or this week, I want to extend the best wishes to you from all of us here at Real Talk Memphis. And if we're all lucky enough, we will be here next year to support you on your next trip around the sun. Thank you, Bryn. All right, a few news and notes to start the show off. This was a violent weekend in our city. I know that's becoming kind of a broken record deal, but we had like 15, 16 plus shootings from last Friday night, really through Sunday. Several deaths involved in all of this, but I mean, double shootings, triple shootings, one quadruple shooting. And again, I think at last count we had like 6 people dead, I believe, in all of this. Found out this afternoon that one individual of 3 who were shot at a house party over the weekend in town sadly lost his life. 16-year-old boy. In this particular shooting, a 16-year-old, 17-year-old, and someone else were all shot. But the 16-year-old boy succumbed to his injuries. So we're very sad. Of course, anytime something like that happens, anytime there's a loss of life, we mourn that loss. There was a shooting death on Beale Street early Sunday morning. In that murder, the suspect was charged with second-degree murder, and he's currently jailed on a $750,000 bond. Now, this is raising the antenna of a lot of folks here in the city, especially city officials, because the second round of the NCAA basketball tournament will be here in Memphis the end of the week on Friday. There'll be about 20,000 people running around the city down there downtown on Beale Street. So Mayor Young announced that there will be some enhanced security measures in place for that. So if you happen to be here and you happen to go down there, just be prepared. Because they're going to kind of ratchet up the security efforts a bit more, because we have a lot of folks that will be heading in our city this weekend. Remember Geronimo Key. Geronimo Key was the 22-year-old young man who shot a police officer 4 times after a traffic stop. Was initially given on I-240 about 2 weeks ago. He was speeding. He was pulled over. The officer tried to give him a ticket. They tried to get him to sign the ticket. He spent 15, 20 minutes out there arguing with the kid, and he finally rolled his window down and pulled the gun out and shot this officer 4 times. By the way, the officer is going to survive. In an initial court appearance, This young man tried to kill a law enforcement officer, was given a bond of $175,000. Now, what's wrong with that picture in and of itself? And I said to myself, when I found out it was that low, I said, that family's going to make that bond. And guess what? The family made that bond, but before he got out, he had his court appearance. He told the judge, among several things, that he is a sovereign citizen and he does not govern to any laws by man in this city at all. He is here governed by a higher power. Well, somebody higher power in this city decided that that $175,000 bond was a bit low, so they raised it to $500,000. In jail, he still sits today. We'll keep you posted on that. We mentioned the NCAA tournament. Well, of course, the Tigers had a chance to go should they have won their conference championship. Well, they lost in the first round to a team that they beat twice this year and to a team that they have an overall 10-win, 1-loss record. They lost. So they're out. Penny said that they were not going to accept a bid to the NIT tournament because he didn't feel like it was it was even necessary to do that for some particular reason. I think he was upset. I think he was angry about the whole thing. I think the pressure of this city, who would like to see the Memphis Tigers in the NCAA 65-team tournament, it's kind of getting to him. A lot of folks are picking at him about his job. A lot of folks are talking about whether or not he should hold his job, keep his job. Everybody's disappointed and frustrated and upset. Well, I think he's going to keep his job, but I don't know. The question is, how many years are going to have to go by before if we don't get in this tournament, before even the folks who love Penny the most, even though he's the biggest donor that they've had around there, about $1 million he's donated to his alma mater. His name is on the building, for God's sake, one of the athletic buildings down there. How long will he hold his job? Tick, 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 tick. Let us wait and find out and see. And one more story. We're in the midst of spring break in various parts of the country. Miami is a hot destination for many of the young folks. They love to go down to Miami and do their thing. Well, last year and the year before that, there was a lot of violence down there. A couple of three people got shot last year in Miami, as I recall. Well, Miami decided this year, we're clamping down, we're hitting hard, and we're not going to let you do this. They have a curfew. They had a midnight curfew, and they basically shut down a lot of beaches and a lot of other things. They weren't going to have it this year. So being enterprising young people as they are, they decided to take the party north. And they moved up to the Jacksonville side of things and the Jacksonville beaches. And what happened up there? A little violence over the weekend. A person got shot. I believe a 16-year-old was arrested for wielding a gun up there, threatening somebody. So, and of course, now they're talking about, well, you know what? If you come up here and you do this, don't come up here and do this. We're going to arrest you. We're going to lock you up the whole nine yards. So anyway, Florida, it's catching on. That's all I can say about spring break. And that's all I can say about the news and notes segment of this broadcast. We are going to take our first break. And when we come back, we're going to get into the show. What do you say? It's a chilly day. This is the last day of winter. And spring hits tonight about 10:16 p.m. That's kind of odd. I don't know why that is. But in any event, spring hits about 10:16 p.m. Don't worry. It will still be cold. There's a freeze warning in effect tonight as well, and it goes through tomorrow morning. After that, hopefully things will start to slowly warm up. This is Real Talk Memphis. I'm Chip. You know who you are. Let's take our first break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
If you like Real Talk, here's a way you can get involved. Do you have a show topic idea or suggestion? Want to be considered a guest or have a guest idea? Then send Chip a message on his Real Talk show page and you can be a part of the Real Talk experience. So as he always says, go out and tell somebody. We'll be right back.
It's real talk. Support for WYXR, including our 2024 stereo sessions, comes from Independent Bank. For 25 years, iBank has supported the diverse and financial needs of its customers and the greater Memphis community. More information regarding how iBank can help you work toward your financial dreams at i-bankonline.com. Member FDIC.
Located on the second floor of the Crosstown Concourse, the Memphis Listening Lab is a nonprofit collection of music and music history that is open to the public every Tuesday through Sunday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Boasting an eclectic collection of tens of thousands of LPs and 45s, a state-of-the-art sound room, and various vinyl and streaming listening stations, our free library has something for music lovers of all stripes. More information and a complete listing of upcoming events is available at memphislisteninglab.org.
Connect with Memphis on WYXR. We offer sponsorship opportunities that expose your brand to our loyal listeners who value local arts, culture, and music. Support public radio and be part of our community. Explore more at wyxr.org/sponsorship.
Programming on WYXR is brought to you by a grant from Arts Memphis, who has been working behind the scenes for 60 years to support and amplify arts events, programs, and experiences that together make a more vibrant and accessible Memphis arts scene.
Get Real Talk on the TuneIn mobile app under WYXR, and he's now streaming live on Facebook. And you can also catch a rebroadcast on YouTube. Just put WYXR in the search box and hit subscribe. Now back to more Real Talk with Chip Washington.
And welcome back to Real Talk Memphis on this Monday evening, this chilly Monday evening. Chip with you. Very happy to have you with us as well. And, of course, we're honoring all of the women that do such amazing things out here in this country, in this world, and even here in our city. It is an honor and a pleasure for me to be able to do that. And our first guest falls into this category. She is the first female to head the MATA organization. Memphis Area Transit Authority is the name in full. Her name is Bakara Malden, and she is the interim CEO, and she joins us now. It's good to see you, and before you even get started, congratulations, my friend. Great, wonderful job, and kudos to you. Kudos to you. And more importantly, kudos to them for being wise enough to select you. Now, you were the deputy, am I correct, before this?
That is correct.
And so now the shop is yours now. And so, with that,
all yours.
And we're really proud of you. Congratulations on that. So this is obviously a challenging position. MATA has been a challenge for a while now in our city, and a lot of folks depend on it. You guys were back and forth there for a while trying to figure out. First, it was a funding thing, and then it was trying to figure out the routes and how you logistically managed down buses and a lot of other things that were going on. Challenges, basically. I'm assuming that those challenges still exist, but now that you're at the helm and you can kind of lay out the landscape and kind of see a direction, what does it look like for you?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on this stage. I'm really excited to be here. I'm really excited to be in this weather. It gives me the opportunity to remove the amazing groups of professionals that are really committed to provide service to the community. And in that vein, that is the reason why the focus really of my administration here is really getting back to the basics and working with the community to transform things right here in the Mid-South. And so that is where my focus is, really focusing on my core function. My core function is about welfare, making sure that we're getting out there on time, making sure that the customers know how to utilize ourselves, all the things of the basic love that will help us be in our practice.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot to what you just said, and your audio is a little, it's kind of, I don't know how to quite describe it. It's a little muted. Yeah, I can hear you fine. It's just that it seems like you're kind of almost like in an echo chamber, but I don't know if that's a you thing or not. But based on what you said, what is the community, you know, what are some of the things that you hear most? You know, as our transit authority, what are people talking about the most that they would like to see in terms of some of the changes that you're looking maybe to make moving forward?
Well, people are looking for more buses. They don't want us to cut their route. You know, we always get from Washington to be like Washington. Why? I went to Chicago. Why can't you operate like Chicago CPA? But if you get right down to it, the funding is not the same.
Right.
Those cities are able to put more funding for capital into their system than Memphis is. We'll get there. I'm just administration and committee now that it is helping us plan it. And I think that there's an opportunity for everyone to rise to the occasion and help us get there. We are going to work on doing the very best we can with the resources that we've been entrusted with today. In hopes that as we are able to bring in more and more resources, we'll be able to bring on more and more service that is left for the community.
Is that one of the things that you're looking at in terms of, you know, what you just mentioned? Why can't we go here? Why can't we go there? Is that one of the things that's kind of on your scope, on your agenda moving forward?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, our neighbors right down the road in Nashville have a referendum coming up in November to utilize part of their tax dollars and go into the funding of flood funding. And so we'll be watching if they're doing in Nashville, we'll be watching if they're doing other parts of the country, and hope that we can learn from their mistakes and capitalize on those in order to come up with something that works best for them.
Now, you mentioned earlier funding, and that's always a big issue. You can't do it without money. You can't do it without the cooperation of the city and the county. Are you finding them to be, Bakar, are you finding them to be more receptive to really understanding the needs this organization matter and how to make it more efficient? And even better for the citizens, because it does take both of them, the city and the county, funding arms to be able to do that. Have they committed that to you?
I've not listened to different commitments as of yet. You know, we haven't quite gotten to budget to be less. Probably when you'll find out exactly where we stand in terms of funding commitments. But what I can say is from the moment I took on this opportunity, I've had inquiries from both people on the city side and the county side. One, sit down at the table and talk about, you know, what are our operating costs? What would be the importance of this? But people are asking the right questions, and I'm very encouraged by it.
Well, you know, and that's what counts. I did believe I read somewhere where Mayor Young was very cognizant of the need, and he seems very willing to help. You understand that you know, in a city that is economically challenged as we are in many areas, people rely on public transportation like the buses to get around. I mean, and it's a very real need to be able to do that. But you have to juggle a lot of balls in the air here in terms of making critical decisions on how you do some of the things you do. Am I correct? Talk about that.
Absolutely. But then we're getting back to the basics. You know that in spite of our city agency, we have to do what we can to get buses in there, and then we can. We just rolled out 8 brand new buses last week. That makes a difference in our on-time performance. You know, having an agency, sometimes you have buses that are down in 14th, and they can roll in buses that aren't quite as aged as brand new buses. That helps. All of them help to protect our on-time performance. It makes it possible for that person at the bus stop that needs to get to the doctor, needs to get to the work, mm-hmm. to go to the grocery. It makes it possible for them to truly depend on our service in order to meet their life.
Well, that's all very, very important to so many people. I know that there are some organizations in this town who are very vocal, very passionate about it. But that just to let you know that there is a real need in this city. And more importantly, I think it should really register with our local politicians to provide the funding opportunities available for you to buy the new buses and for you to be able to upgrade technology and a lot of other things that people really don't know and understand about that. Now, I remember at one point late last year, they were going to talk about ending the routes at 7 p.m. and a lot of other things. And there was a lot of pushback behind that. And it was decided at that time, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to make those changes. So, you know, moving forward, do you see yourself in a position like that ever to have to make a decision like that? Or is that just something that, you know what, there are certain things that we're not going to do that will impact our customers in a negative way? I'm just trying to kind of get your thought process on that.
So honestly, what I have to say is that's the reason why we're doing that convention. That's the reason why we're looking at everything that we're doing right now and our service team right now. It would be to make sure that we operate in the most efficient way that our knowledge that we have today will allow. So once we do that, we're going to reach back out to the community. That's why I want to. My slogan is transforming transit together with the south, because, you know, we want to make sure that if we ever possibly change, we want to make sure that we've gotten a lot of buy-in and voters. We want to educate the community about challenges. Maybe you didn't say enough about some of the challenges that we face. And so we need to get out of the community and talk and be honest and transparent about some of the challenges that we face. I think that's going to go a long way. I'm not, you know, never say never on any of this. We think a lot of the changes on the funding.
Right.
You know, how it continues to roll out and all of that. But it also, a lot of it depends on how we're able to drive and how we're able to leverage the relationship that we have with the state of Tennessee. How we're able to leverage the relationship that we have with the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make a difference and leverage the funding that we are able to get on the local level, so that we can bring in the things that we need at a basic level, so that we can continue to operate the way this community needs it to operate and deserves.
Well, you know, you said three things: honest, open, and transparent. And those are the things that people respect, even if there are some challenges involved. People respect that, and they got the right one in this position. You're making history at MATA, on this very special month that we celebrate. Thank you for coming on the show tonight. It's good to see you. And, you know, you're always welcome. Anytime there's some initiatives or some other plans that you have in motion, you're always welcome back to Real Talk Memphis. I hope you come back.
Oh, I absolutely will, and I just want to encourage folks and listeners to go to our website at www.mattacity.com. We're holding out the Mattacity Advisory Committee in partnership with Mayor Paul Young. So if you want the information about how to join, this is another way that we are sending our hands out to the community to give us feedback so that you can utilize that feedback and make decisions.
Because
thank
I'm all
having us.
Well, absolutely, and I hear it in your voice, and I know that you're sincere in what you're going to do, and I know you're going to make a big difference over there. Bakara Malden, ladies and gentlemen, interim CEO of MATA. Thank you, my friend, for coming on the show, and I look forward to talking to you down the road.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Absolutely.
You too. Thank you so much. Bakara Malden, ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you this, she is a woman of her word. She will take this organization to heights, I fully believe, that we have never seen before. And again, open, honest, transparent is what you want in any type of leadership situation, and she is the one. We thank her for being on the show. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to continue on this Monday evening, this chilly Monday evening in the city, on this edition of Real Talk Memphis. I am Chip. It's great to see you all. Great to have you all on with us tonight. Before I go to commercial break, let me hit some of the Facebook Live folks. Denise Harden is checking us out tonight. Hey, Denise, as well as my good friend Michael Harris. My guy, JGK P. Worth is on with us this evening. Ramel, I see you out there. Let's see here. I said Michael Harris, right? Patricia Rogers is watching. Sarah Houston checking us out this evening. How y'all doing? It's glad to have you all with us this evening. And I hope you all out there, whether you're listening to us on the radio or tune in or whatever it is you're doing, you're checking us out this evening. Let's take another break. We'll be right back with more of Real Talk Memphis right after this.
If you like Real Talk, here's a way you can get involved. Do you have a show topic idea or suggestion? Want to be considered a guest or have a guest idea? Then send Chip a message on his Real Talk show page and you can be a part of the Real Talk experience. So as he always says, go out and tell somebody. We'll be right back.
Programming on WYXR is brought to you by a grant from Arts Memphis, who has been working behind the scenes for 60 years to grow the foundation of Memphis arts. Thank you
for... Programming on WYXR is brought to you by a grant from Arts Memphis, who has invested $94 million into our local arts community to teach, uplift, unite, and engage Memphians of all ages and zip codes.
WYXR doesn't go to sleep at night. We keep the music moving. Memphis music, that is. When our DJs clock out, our automation clocks in with music right from our community. Produced, performed, and written by Memphians, or in Memphis. Some are hits, and some are rarely heard, but they all tell the story of one of the world's greatest music cities. Visit WYXR.org for playlist and scheduling information. Email submissions at WYXR.org to let us hear your Memphis music. We may just play it.
Get Real Talk on the TuneIn mobile app under WYXR, and he's now streaming live on Facebook. And you can also catch a rebroadcast on YouTube. Just put WYXR in the search box and hit subscribe. Now back to more Real Talk with Chip Washington.
And welcome back to Real Talk Memphis on this Monday. I see Rosalind Crossland is also watching us this evening, as is Ricky Jackson. So I appreciate all of you. Rufus Bill Smith checking us out as well this evening. So I appreciate each and every one of you checking us out. And I also appreciate my next guest. This young man has been with an organization we all know and love, Memphis in May. He's been with that organization well over 25 years. He was recently named, however, the new president and CEO of Memphis in May. He is Mr. Mac Weaver. And Mac, it is great to see you. I hope you don't mind me calling you Mac. I'm just that kind of an informal guy. Great to have you on Real Talk Memphis. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. No, I don't mind at all.
All right.
Hope you don't mind me calling you Chip.
That was gonna say. I was gonna say that sir thing. That's off limits on this show, man. It's just Chip. But really happy to have you here. And of course, Mac. You know, Memphis in May has been an institution in our city for well over close to 50 years. Am I correct in that?
You're correct. 46 years.
46 years. That's a long time. And you've been with him for a long time as well. And I guess I should, before we even get started, congratulations on this great honor and being the man who's going to head the show now. Congratulations on that.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Now, I know that, you know, in our correspondence, you know, you're busy and you're getting in and you're getting kind of settled in the top seat. You know the organization backwards and forwards. But now, it is your responsibility. You're the man who's at the helm now. You're the man who is leading the charge. We had a challenging year last year, but we're moving forward in 2024. As you settle in to this new position, what types of what are you thinking about these days? What are you moving forward? What are you hoping that Memphis in May continues to do? You say the organization is financially solvent. You guys are strong, fiscally strong, and you're fired up and you're ready to go. What can we look forward to?
you can look forward to the same great events that we've had in the past. Now, of course, this year, you know, we paused the music festival, and we plan to bring that back very soon, next year, as a matter of fact.
Ah, okay.
We will be doing the World Championship Barbecue Cooking Contest, and it's going to be in Liberty Park.
Okay.
Make sure everyone understands we're in Liberty Park this year.
Liberty Park, okay.
Yes. All and right. Then we have posters behind me here. And the other event we have, which is becoming a new favorite for Memorial Day weekend, which is the Great American River Run. And that happens on the 25th. So those are the two events that we will be doing this year.
So you're telling all of our listeners and viewers out there that any rumor to the demise of Memphis and May that we know and love are greatly exaggerated, and that you are planning to come back next year and bring that music festival back here next year as well?
We are looking at bringing the full gamut back. We had to get ourselves together, and, you know, we had some financial challenges, and, you know, there were a lot of misconceptions put out there as to what caused the financial peril for the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in fact, 2019, we had come off one of our most successful festivals. And as you know, we were gearing up for 2020, and it was going to be larger than 2019.
Right, right.
And then the wheels fell off, not only the city, but the country.
True.
And, you know, COVID came in and closed everything down.
Mm-hmm.
So 2021, we come back, did not have another festival. Well, we had a semblance of a festival in 2021. So, you know, we've had rough time like a lot of festivals around the country with trying to overcome the COVID and the pandemic.
I was going to ask you about that because, you know, as all of us know, I mean, COVID shut down everything. When we say everything, we mean everything. For 2 years, basically.
Yes.
And a lot of folks are still trying to come out of it, as you're saying. I mean, it was because a lot of folks really understood the tremendous impact it had. You said that, you know, you had a big festival in 19, you were looking forward to an even bigger one in 20, and then COVID hit and shut everything down. So now you're resetting, so to speak. Yes. Now, and you're and recalibrating. I do know that the cost of, and I did read this somewhere here recently, for a lot of folks who have major festivals like Memphis in May, there are a lot of challenges in terms of the cost of that. A lot of performance fees are going up. These performers are charging a lot more money. So things are changing, you know, in terms of that. Yes. You have to be able to move with that. And I guess there are some logistics involved in when you're looking for talent to come here, type of talent. You have different people who like different things, who like different music and everything else. So how big a challenge is that, Mac, for you to be able to put something together that really supports everybody's taste?
Well, it's very challenging. But one thing about Memphis in May is, you know, we had become really good at it. And because we have built a brand, you know, people were excited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're never going to please everyone. But we had something pretty much for everyone when we had our music events. And like you said, you know, after, you know, not having an event for 2 years, like most people, the entertainers weren't working either.
True.
So when they came back, you know, they tried to recoup everything that they lost for those last 2 years. So the cost for entertainment was, you know, extremely high.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we, you know, fell victim to the high cost of entertainment, bringing it in. And we thought everyone was ready to get back outside because, you know, everybody was saying we're back outside.
Yeah.
When we brought in the entertainment, everybody really wasn't ready to get back outside into big crowds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that's what we experienced in 2022. So then you come back in 2023 and, you know, we tried to put on another major event. back in a smaller venue,
mm-hmm.
and we weren't able to accommodate, you know, the masses, and we ran into some challenges, and that's how we ended up with, you know, 2 years of, you know, substantial loss.
Yeah, I got you. So let me ask you, the million-dollar question is, in terms of next year's event, which you said is going to happen, the music festival is going to be back, in terms of logistics, where are we going to have that festival? Or has that decision been made yet?
It has not been made yet.
Okay.
We're looking at all possibilities. You know, it's no secret that, you know, we've had challenges with Tom Lee Park.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, chances are, you know, it won't be in Tom Lee Park.
Mm-hmm.
But we are looking at Liberty Park, and we're looking at other areas around the city and county.
So yeah, because I was going to say there are plenty of places, you know, that are large enough to hold it. I guess it's just a matter of you coming down to picking a particular one and then dealing with the logistics of it. Do you have any the angst about the fact that now there was one, now there are two of these festivals that are going on? I guess what this boils down to is but there's a different time frame, right? I mean, between one festival and the other festival, right? So people can actually still go to both starting next year. Am I correct?
No.
Well, yes. No.
I'm not sure about the other event.
Okay.
I can only speak to what Memphis in May is doing.
Okay.
And for 46 years, this will be our 46th year, Memphis in May International Festival has been the festival that everyone has gone to.
Yeah.
I can't speak to what the other organization is going to do. Everyone knows our brand. And so we're going to have the same great talent that we've had in the past. You know, we're going to change some things around. You know, we had to get a little smaller in order to get a little bit more efficient.
Yeah.
And we needed to put some funding into our coffers so that we could fund the events going forward.
So you're doing a lot of in internal work there, logistical work there. It's exciting to hear that Memphis in May, you know, the big boy is coming back next year. I'm excited to hear that. I mean, I think that's big news for, and like you say, it's traditional. We know this. Many people from here have grown up with this. They understand what Memphis in May is all about. So I think that grand in 2025 is going to be a very big deal. And it sounds like you're planning for that in a very strategic and cost-effective but most enjoyable way. And I think that all of the elements that make Memphis in May what it has been sound like you're going to keep all of that together so we can have a good time in 2025. I look forward to that, man. It sounds like you're hitting the ground running. Aren't you? You're busy, aren't you?
I'm very busy. One of the things I want to make sure that I mention is, you know, Memphis in May was made by the community.
Yes, sir.
It was a group of volunteers that came together that want to do something good for this city.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this started 46 years ago. And this organization is run by a volunteer organization or by volunteer board.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm just one of the fortunate ones to work with a great group of volunteers. And, you know, everyone that lives in Memphis that has been here has a Memphis in May story. Something that, you know, they've enjoyed about the organization, whether it's been the music festival, whether it's been the barbecue contest,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, the Sunset Symphony isn't no longer around, but we still have that symphony. And you think back on May, you smile.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've done something for everyone in this city. And I'm proud to be a part of this organization. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that we stay around for years to come.
Well, they got the right one. And you're right, man. It's the first big event, you know, outdoor event, you know, after a cold winter, you know, folks are ready to get out and do their thing. Mac Weaver, President and CEO of Memphis in May. Mac, thank you for taking the time to come on the show tonight. Great pleasure talking with you. And I hope that between now and next year, we visit again as time gets a little bit closer. I look forward to talking to you. And best of luck in everything that you and this organization does down the road.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate you.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mac. Appreciate you. Mac Weaver, ladies and gentlemen, from Memphis in May. And he tells us, hey, guess what? The music festival is coming back next year. They're working hard down there to make that happen. We're going to take our final break of the broadcast. And when we come back, we're going to shift gears and talk about education with a very special young lady who is heading a very special school. This is Real Talk Memphis. I'm Chip. We'll be right back.
If you like Real Talk, here's a way you can get involved. Do you have a show topic idea or suggestion? Want to be considered a guest or have a guest idea? Then send Chip a message on his Real Talk show page and you can be a part of the Real Talk experience. So as he always says, go out and tell somebody. We'll be right back.
Did you know when you purchase a specialty arts license plate, you're supporting the Tennessee Arts Commission and organizations like WYXR? It's easy. Just take your old plate to your county clerk and swap it out, or choose the arts plate when it's time for renewal. Show your love for WYXR and other Tennessee arts organizations by visiting tnspecialtyplates.org.
Hey, I'm Will from Crosstown Brewing Company. We support WYXR 91.7 FM. A favorite beer is just like a favorite song. We feel something new every time we encounter them. Cheers to playing the hits and tasting the notes.
Support for WYXR comes from Grind City Festival, a two-day music and arts festival featuring Whiskey Myers, Charlie Crockett, Muscadine Bloodline, Nikki Lane, The Red Clay Strays, and more, taking place April 5th and 6th at Grind City Brewing Company in Uptown Memphis. Tickets available at grindcityfest.com.
Did you know you could donate your vehicle and support WYXR at the same time? We offer free pickup and it's tax deductible. Go to cars.wyxr.org to donate your car today.
Get Real Talk on the TuneIn mobile app under WYXR, and he's now streaming live on Facebook. And you can also catch a rebroadcast on YouTube. Just put WYXR in the search box and hit subscribe. Now back to more Real Talk with Chip Washington.
And welcome back to the show on this Monday evening. Chip with you, and you know, as we continue to celebrate Women's History Month, we feature folks who are doing big things in our community. And my next guest is one of those folks. She is a lifelong Catholic, and she serves. And this is interesting to me. There is a school here in the city that many of you may be familiar with called Immaculate Conception Cathedral School, and it's been here well over 100 years, I believe, is what I read in doing some research. Well, Khadija is the first Black female to ever lead this school, and Lola here, but one of my crew folks, she's clapping for you, and I'm clapping for you too. Congratulations on that. And now you've been doing this now for about a year plus, am I correct? 2 years.
Yep.
2 years.
2 years.
Where you been? How come I haven't had you on my show? Anyway, that's a whole other story. We got you on now, but congratulations on that. 2 years. So, you know, I mean, obviously, this is something that is history making. Obviously, you're making history in this position. How's it been? How's it been?
Well, they always say anything that's worth anything is hard, and it's been hard. It's been humbling. Exciting, but I extremely hard daily. But anyone in education can say that they've been working really hard. Yeah. It's not easy career, whether you are teaching in the classroom, serving in the cafeteria, working in the office, or running the school. It's always a difficult position, and I am doing all that I can for my school.
Has education been in your blood for a long time? Has working in the field of education been something that you've always wanted to do?
Well, I tell people I fell into education shortly after college. I had dreams of being wanting to be a doctor, but about life, I did something in teaching. So when I was younger, participated as a Sunday school teacher. Mm. I taught swim lessons. I did instrumental private lessons. I've done something that dealt with me teaching someone else. Good.
Okay. Your signal's cutting in and out on me a little bit here. Okay. I caught most of what you said there, but in terms of how you got into this now. What age range are the kids, from what grade to what grade?
Okay, so I see CS service kids from 3-year-olds all the way to 8th grade. Next year, though, we are adding a grade, and we are adding 2-year-olds next year. So we're very excited about it.
That's a big deal. Early education, early childhood education is something that we hear about a lot. From a lot, again, getting these kids started early. I mean, 2 is pretty early. How did you come about thinking that it was time to do that, to take that down, another notch in terms of getting these young folks in the education world?
So we're on this way of growing, and why not start our journey with 2-year-olds? Now, having 2-year-olds in the school is not new to education. We are taking a little bit of a twist. So what most people think of when they think of a 2-year-old program is they think of that mother's kind of, they're in a school setting, only there for half a day, 2 days out of the week. We are actually putting 2-year-olds in our school full time.
Oh, wow.
They will experience school just as any other student is experiencing school. So they'll do things, they'll have structured learning. It's still more of that play, learn, but they'll still have art and they'll have music and they'll have PE. They'll have foreign language. Everything is on a different level, but we are giving them the full educational experience when we include our 2-year-olds. So we want to start them early because you get the most success with students the earlier you start them.
Yeah.
Try to involve them for next year.
Well, that is, I mean, that is, again, another challenge that you have added to your tool belt in terms of trying to get folks to understand. The school has a very good academic reputation, from what I'm told.
Yes.
How do you work hard to achieve that? When people are looking for alternatives for their youngsters, in this particular area, you're always looking for achievement and accomplishment and things like that. How do you keep that going? How do you keep your staff motivated in the high standards that you seem to be achieving to this point?
So you said it, the staff. I want to put it all on our teachers. They are the front runners of this, right? They are implementing this curriculum that we have and then I'm there to support them and the parents are there to support them. Mm-hmm. But I try to keep them motivated by viewing success a little differently. A lot of people look at success as, what is it that I'm doing? What am I doing that's standing out and being great and things like that? And so because you notice me, I'm successful. But I like to look at success in the standpoint of someone else. So I'm able to support teachers by looking at what they're doing that makes them successful, because then that's what makes the school successful. And I try to put that same mindset into teachers where they're thinking at, how are my students successful? What am I doing to shine for my students and make them successful? And so when you have people thinking of others instead of for themselves or thinking of themselves, you get a great outcome. And so we've been able to keep good academic records and good academic standards.
Tell me how important it is. I mean, it's a simple question, but depending on who you ask, the challenges could be even greater. the buy-in from the parents. I mean, obviously, the parents of these children who attend your school have to have a great faith and belief that when they send their child to your school, they're going to get the type of quality education that they expect. How supportive are the parents of the students that attend your school? How important are they to the success of the school?
Well, parents are very successful. We would not exist if we did not have the support of parents. Students only come when their parents support it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's important to be transparent, lines of communication. Doors are always open for parents to come in and see what we're actually doing in that classroom. And because they have that invitation and they feel welcome to come into the classroom, they can actually see what we're doing, which means, oh, this, you're doing this, I can reinforce that.
Right.
And so we do get support from our families. Now, not all families enjoy the curriculum. We just recently switched over to a class curriculum, which I think is amazing. We are going back to our basics, right? Mm-hmm. Of teaching children how to read. We're focused on phonemic development and we're focused on math, real, it's always been real math, but math taught the way I was taught now in my 30s, but math has been changed since I learned it. We're going back to those basics and parents are excited because they feel more equipped with helping their children at home.
Well, you know what? This is, I'm really happy to have had a chance to speak with you. You know, you're a young woman in age, but you have a vision and you have a passion for education and you have a commitment to these young folks. And, you know, I congratulate you, you know, on this. You know, once again, being the first. One of these days, we're not going to have to be saying that they're the first this or they're the first that in the 21st century. But that day will come. But in the meantime, congratulations to you and continue to success in all you do at that school. And I'd like to have you back down the road, maybe after you have incorporated the 2-year-olds in all of this to find out, you know, how all of that is working out. I really do. But in the meantime, Khadijah Gordon, thank you so much, principal at Immaculate Conception Cathedral School. Thanks for taking the time to come on tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for the invite.
Absolutely. You have a great night.
You too.
All right. Bye. Bye-bye. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That is a wrap on this particular episode of the show as Bren plays this out. Another good show tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you had a chance to listen to it. Of course, if you don't, we are live streaming the show. You can go to my page and you can check it out. Check out what you missed. We are a podcast. You can pick up the podcast after they post it in the next day or two. If you missed it and you want to hear more about what we talked about tonight, you can always go to the podcast, Real Talk Memphis, wherever it is you get your podcast. Podcast is a big thing around here, so hopefully you'll support this broadcast. Thank you for being a part of what we do each and every week. We hope you enjoyed the show tonight. We'll continue to try to do better again next week. So for all of us here, for Bren, for Nicole, for Lola, and for yours truly, have a great week. Appreciate you as always. And we are out. See you soon.